is the Go Blue Crew. Hello and welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, March Madness is upon us. Conference tournaments have started. The Big Ten tournament starts tomorrow. We're recording this on Tuesday. And then, of course, we'll get into the NCAA tournament. A man like yourself, Derek, you're at work. You know, you have a normal 9-to-5, basically. How are you watching games during the day? How are you getting that done?
Pretty easy on a Thursday, Friday. Those are my remote days, so I could have multiple screens brewing if I needed to. And, you know, probably one work screen and four basketball screens, right? Because that's how it would work during NCAA tournament. For the Big Ten tournament this week, I do have a really busy work week this week and a major event, you know, right around the noon slot on Friday. But luckily or unluckily for us Michigan fans, not a whole lot at stake likely noon on Friday in terms of my rooting interests. So, you know what? I guess similar to last year, I'm going in to the Big Ten tournament with just like no hope at all. Less hope than last year. And then to the NCAA tournament, I'm just glad I don't have to watch an NIT like alongside an NCAA tournament because those are on opposite days. I'm excited for the bracket, excited to fill it out, and just I think going to take that more seriously than I've taken in years prior. Maybe not with my preparation to filling it out, but just I'm going to be more glued than last year, if that's even possible somehow. And hopefully find a team in each region that, you know, not the favorite, you know, I like to cheer for, you know, a 10 seed, maybe a 13 seed.
Yeah.
And try to find a team in each region that, you know, I can kind of ride with and be a bandwagon fan for, you know, maybe four teams and see which of those four teams that I'm going to, you know, hop on the bandwagon of can make it the furthest. And then, of course, we talked about this. I guess I'll root for Hunter Dickinson. I don't know what else to do in terms of at least rooting for a team that's likely to be one of the heavy favorites. So,
did you see he's out for the Big 12 tournament?
I did not see that.
Injured. I just happened to be watching. Hurt his shoulder, I believe. Something in his arm. I can't remember if it was a shoulder or elbow. But apparently should be ready for the NCAA tournament, but won't be part of the conference tournament. So. Yeah, definitely going to root for Hunter Dickinson.
Probably the one to sit out, you know.
Right. Can I put you on a hack?
Yeah.
I prompted you with that question, how you watch conference tournament, NCAA tournament, because the way to get this done is to go ahead and have a kid so that it lines up so that if you get some kind of decent parental leave, you're off. That'll be the case for me. For the first time, I think, ever, maybe outside of college, but I have to figure, you know, job, classes, something had to interfere. For the first time, I think ever, I'm not going to really have anything in my way, at least for the NCAA tournament, which is what I'm really looking forward to. I'm just going to be able to like sit down and of course I'll have big responsibilities throughout the day, you know, but that's just around the house. I'll just be walking around, changing diapers, warming up bottles, walking the baby around when he needs, you know, to be comforted, that kind of thing. Other than that, TV's on, man. I got YouTube TV, right? I know you do too.
I don't know if multi-stream, did it exist for the first time last year during the tournament?
I didn't have it, so I don't know.
You have YouTube TV. I'm trying to remember. No. Either way, multi-stream is going to come in clutch more than
ever. But that's
ever
the plan,
before.
And that's the hack. Have a kid, and not just have a kid like any time of the year, like line it up so that this is happening where you can stay home and catch like those first 4 days. I mean, at least the Thursday, Friday. And I don't know if you want to count like the first four games, which are, they tip off at what, 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. local time anyway. So whatever. But yeah, that's what I'll be doing. And that's why I asked, because I have to throw that out there. If you're family planning, go ahead and plan it around March Madness. Why not? I mean, it seems like the perfect time of year to get things done.
Excellent, excellent idea and a great hack and something I'll consider down the road.
Good.
For sure.
Absolutely should.
You know, definitely, definitely going to take that one seriously. I think, and shout out to my previous employer, on the first day, 2 years in a row, at least maybe three, No, maybe two. It just depends. Nah, I don't know. It's hard because the pandemic was in there too when I was at this place. But at least 2 years in a row, we kind of threw like a little potluck style. Everybody, you know, gather over in the admissions office.
I remember
and
that.
Watch, you know, watch the first few games. And so you obviously left when the working hours ended, or maybe even earlier. But you at least got to watch that first set of four from, you know, noon to what, four that it goes to. If it, I think that last game in that first set usually starts around like 1:30 or 2 or something. And I think if you're in a position to either convince somebody or put that on, I think the hack that I deliver is make sure you either work somewhere or create a work environment where you just let people either freely watch, or you encourage them just to do some team networking and team building while you all watch together. Because I think the reality is it's got to be, and I think maybe proven to be, one of the least productive days, couple of days of the year, because they've always, always fallen on Thursday and Friday.
Next
weekend of basketball too, same thing, right? They technically more like Thursday evening and Friday evening for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. But once again, just find a way to watch it. And if you're in an environment that you absolutely can't, there's some jobs where it wouldn't make sense, you know, if you're driving, you know, something, I get that, listen to the radio, but maybe find an employer that allows you to, you know, be
plan
flexible
your life
enough
around
to,
this.
Yeah,
is
honestly,
what we're
you
saying.
Should. One thing that I'll mention is a couple of weekends from now, I guess, end of March, the regional finals are actually in Detroit. So thinking possibly that might be good to go check out either one of the two Sweet 16 matchups or maybe that Elite Eight matchup to wrap up the region. So we'll see what the slate looks like. But I'm picking a team from each region, so I guess hopefully I'll be watching that team in the Elite Eight if I go in person.
8 minutes in, you already hinted at this, but we should just address it head on. The perfect way here for Michigan to end this season is a 9 p.m. Peacock game where, I mean, what are the odds of them winning? I don't care about, you know, ESPN's metrics or Ken Pom's metrics and like spitting out a win probability. I mean, like you and me as fans of people, you know, we pay attention, we care about it. It feels like it's as close to zero as you can get, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's a 9 p.m. game, and no better way to go out, I would say, for this team than 9 p.m. game on Peacock.
Wait a minute. Oh, okay. For a second, I was looking at MGO Blue, and I thought they just stopped updating the scores.
That'd be bold.
I was like, wow, they're not even. But it's because I accidentally saw Nebraska, which would be, I guess, what, a potential third round or semifinal matchup. Weird, too, that they have 8 p.m. Central because it's in Minnesota.
Maybe we shouldn't say 9 p.m. because it always starts, 25 minutes after the conclusion of
previous game. Technically it's listed as 8 Central because of the time zone, but you're right. It's probably not tipping off until 9:20 Eastern. And so Do you want to stay up until 11:30 to see if Juwan Howard makes it through the night? Probably.
Yes.
People staying up for that reason? Probably. It is unlikely, even with a loss tomorrow night, that you get that information that soon. Though there was a like Utah State or some sort of women's college basketball coach that, you know, went up and said, yeah, you know,
I saw that.
Don't know how to answer the rebuild question because I won't be here rebuilding. I was just told that they're going in a different direction. That's not the way to do it. At least don't send that woman up to talk to the media at that point.
No.
But there's an obligation to do so. I guess I understand, but just then wait till after. So I don't think we'll see anything like that. I don't think the Big Ten would want that. I don't think Ward Manuel would want that. But I did see, you know, according to Mr. T, John Bacon himself, Mr. Bacon, I should say, not Mr. T. Mr. Bacon, who has
Mr.
the T.
T. Where did
Mr.
that
Bacon,
come from?
Who sometimes has the tea. I'm just like, you know, spilling the tea. I was thinking Mr. T.
Oh, I thought
work.
T is an initial. Mr.
No,
T.
No. But then I was thinking, no, he's already Mr. Bacon. But, you know, sometimes people have tea with their bacon. So whatever.
It's sizzling
he,
hot.
He said, you know, not direct quote. I'd have to go look it up again. But something along the lines of, you know, maybe Ward Manuel, per sources, is not as doesn't feel the need to maybe protect Juwan Howard's
job. Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Though, you know, I think everybody wishes it worked out. And I think Ward Manuel making this hire directly would love for it to work out. But things aren't working out this year. A chance for their 9th win on the season. They have – I saw something else today. I don't know if you saw this. I mean, outside of Will Cheddar's Sportsmanship Award, nobody listed in first, second – or honorable mention for...
Hold on. Will Cheddar got the Sportsmanship Award?
He's on like the all-sportsmanship team or something.
For what? I mean, make the case... I always think of Will Cheddar as like a guy who gets a little too emotional for the moment when it doesn't call for it and gets called for a lot of hook and holds, that kind of thing.
Well, here,
I don't know.
Let me read the little thread. This isn't the first place I saw it, but
okay.
Basically, you know, hearing from insiders, while Ward Manuel would rather keep Juwan Howard, you know, seems less inclined to protect his job for what it's worth. And then he goes into his classic, nobody knows anything.
Right.
And then, related, on the just-released all-Big Ten men's basketball team, Michigan was the only Big Ten team not to place a single player on the league's first, second, third, freshman, or defensive teams, 0-25 in terms of the spots available. Whereas, you know, I saw Michigan State fans today kind of complaining for, you know, the fifth year in a row, they don't have somebody on the first team. Yeah, you know, not only does Michigan not have anybody on the first team, Michigan has nobody on any team, except then Ant Wright came through and said, Will Cheddar got sportsmanship. And maybe that's not even legit. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm getting bamboozled here.
No, but I just looked this up. Wait.
But to your point, yeah,
I don't know.
No ill, but not the player I would. I mean, you had to throw someone from Michigan somewhere, and so that's who you pick, I guess.
I'm just so confused. That is so confusing to me. Anyway, we don't have to dig deep into that. I was just like really thrown off there. We're doing like a basically. Putting a bow on the season, unless Michigan makes some kind of crazy run. And what I was thinking about leading up to the end of the season, watching these games, watching Michigan perform terribly, basically be out of games very early. You're seeing like walk-ons come in at the under four timeout, which is crazy. When you look at the roster, do you see any guys where you're like, you gotta keep them? We already talked about like, we had a little debate, can Michigan build around Terrace Reed Jr., because every broadcaster who does a Michigan game seems to want that to happen. But looking at the whole roster, do you see anybody who are like, Michigan's got to keep him? Even if it's not a build around him, it's like, that's a guy you want for the future. Do you see anybody like that?
Yeah, a lot of grad transfers. I mean, again, I guess Terrace Reed and Doug McDaniel, which kind of reiterates.
I'm not sold on Doug McDaniel, though. And I defended him.
The only thing I feel that Doug McDaniel has that you do want is someone who has, and obviously he didn't play in some of the away games, and we'll never forget that weird decision of the suspension for road games. But I would say, if I had to pick, it might be Doug McDaniel, just because having an experienced guard, and again, this is all under John Beilein, so let's not get it mistaken that, you know, John Beilein benefited from 3-4 year guards, maybe more than any coach during that era. Well, Tom Izzo, you could say the same thing, I guess. But to have a veteran guard and be surrounded by playmakers around, I think a Doug McDaniel is put in a position to put up a lot of shots and is, you know, somewhat of a bucket getter if he's on an on night. I think he could really excel in any offense. And I wouldn't be surprised if Doug McDaniel is not retained or Juwan Howard's not retained, that Doug McDaniel goes and finds an opportunity elsewhere. And I think, unlike, you know, maybe a Frankie Collins, who's not playing bad for Arizona State, I think Doug McDaniel could, you know, be a really nice pickup for somebody. So with that in mind, or with a Terrace Reed could be a good pickup for somebody, you naturally think those guys. I think a popular answer could probably be George Washington III. That's a guy that there's a lot of people that have been longing to see him on the court. And, you know, he had, you know, there's a lot of kind of a lot of juice behind that recruitment, and what he could be as what the sole freshman, at least scholarship freshman, I believe. And you could bring in essentially one guy and lose that one guy a year later, but he seems to have, you know, some raw potential. I don't want to compare him directly to a Kobe Bufkin, but, you know, could have type of a Kobe Bufkin leap, no matter who the coach is, if you just gave the guy some time to prove himself. And so, and I think that's Juwan Howard's style. I think there's, you know, sometimes there's not a fit in what he's trying to do. And a guy like a Kobe Bufkin in year one, or George Washington III in year one, you know, don't see a lot of minutes, but that doesn't mean that they can't flourish and become a, you know, an NBA draft pick someday. But other than that, man, you look at the roster and you know who's already going to be gone because of either graduating or, you know, losing eligibility, going pro, if anyone goes pro, or makes it pro, I should say. I think best case scenario, it's a rebuild top to bottom. And that's probably still going to bring you more than 8 wins next year, even if you have a whole new roster, which is
feels like you
pathetic.
Can stumble into more than 8 wins. I mean, the Big Ten has this reputation of being just like a total gauntlet. This is another broadcast thing. So hard to go on the road in the Big Ten. Like, yeah, but the Big Ten like isn't especially unique in that way. And it's not, you know, the premier conference right now in college basketball. I don't really see a reason why, you know, any team like in Michigan's position should have even worse luck because of the state of the conference. You have a really good Purdue team. You've got Illinois. Nobody's going to want to travel to Breslin, that kind of thing. But like, I don't see the Big Ten. Excuse me. I don't see the Big Ten as just like a conference that you can't win in if you're, you know, not going to be good. So that's why I say I feel like you can stumble your way into more than 8 wins next season. It really seems unlikely, like a rebuild or not.
And you can bring together a really good roster with today's college basketball or a college sports landscape. So if a new coach
comes in
and you can get your guy early, you know, just not saying that this is even something I've seen or think could be the case, but if you've got a guy who I just happened to look up, couldn't tell you his name, just know he's under 50 and is the head coach of James Madison, who has 30 wins this year and will be in the tournament. If you can make that hire even known, it's not unlikely, it's not rare for a mid-major coach, for example, if you went that route, to already kind of have that next destination lined up during the tournament or immediately after they finally drop out of the tournament as a mid-major. There's been so many coaches that are, you know, all of a sudden it's like night of, you know, congrats on the 2-game run as a 13 seed. This guy is off to Michigan. And so I think that, you know, Juwan Howard, if he's not going to be retained, I do think it will happen rather quickly. Maybe not tomorrow night shall they lose, but maybe winning just delays what should be the inevitable or makes a tougher decision where maybe best case scenario, sadly, is a loss. And you hate to think that, but you know, it's to secure your 8 win worst season in program history, it seems like. And it'd be, you know, a non-negotiable of like, hey, you're not beating enough teams. You're not making the tournament 2 years in a row. And by the way, you didn't even get a win in the conference tournament where anybody could upset anybody in any conference tournament. And so if you can't even score a win against Penn State, where you should have a roster to beat them, then, you know, there's just no need to retain. But regardless, I think you look at the scholarship players, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 3 or less that are back next year. There's just not a whole lot of guys to build around, and coaching changes will always bring, you know, kind of a new way of doing things. And maybe somebody comes in and takes the Rick Pitino or Coach Prime model and says hello to Will Cheddar and, you know, congrats on your sportsmanship award, but you won't be here next season. You know, because there's coaches that do that too.
Yeah.
But, you know, probably not a guy to build around, no offense. But, you know, probably a guy who would be more likely to stay than go with everything that he's put into the program. Yeah, man, it's what a time. It's just like I can't wait for the Big Ten tournament to pass just so I can be a college basketball fan, a week and a half from now and just enjoy, you know, low stakes games because I don't have a team or a big investment outside of my bracket doing well.
No. My case for and against Doug McDaniel, I go back and forth on this because, like I said, the last episode we did, I defended him and I said, you know, yes, he is a little chaotic at times, turns the ball over too much, but you look around him and he's got to do a lot on his own. I still don't know if like that's your point guard of the future. I'm not totally sold there. And then I agree with you on George Washington III as maybe like an underrated guy you might think of as like, oh yeah, you know, that could be like a nice piece to have. He's played his way onto the court primarily because of defense. And we know that Michigan, both as a team and then like individually man to man, like does not play good defense. There basically isn't anybody who plays solid minutes who can like keep somebody in front of them, which is really frustrating. But George Washington III, I thought throughout the season, has done a pretty good job on his own on the defensive side of the ball. So that, you know, that's something you can look at, build off of, a little positive thing for the future. So I agree with you there. On the whole, though, I think it's telling that there isn't anybody who jumps off the page. And you're like, oh, man, if you want to have a successful season next year, you've got to keep blank. There isn't that guy. I don't think there's anybody even close to being that, which, you know, there's a lot of things we can use to indict the current state of the program. Just add that to the list. That's another one. The fact that there isn't just an automatic response to that question of like, oh yeah, you have to keep him if you want to, you know, be successful. That it's just not there on the roster. And that's just
I can't even think of a year where I couldn't name somebody. Like, even if you were to like sub like a Jet Howard or Kobe Bufkin, because you could assume they were going to the NBA, like might have to roll back the tapes, but I feel like there would have been something we were excited about heading into this next season. Like, you know, I know that we weren't thinking it was going to be a, you know, championship caliber roster by any means, but even before the transfers were announced, like it seems like we could have picked up the pieces, you know, like Terrence Williams will really turn it on but there's just, here's the thing that I think of, and I don't know if it's UM Hoops, you know, who's been doing solid things for a minute now.
Yeah.
But I used to always look at kind of that predictions of the depth charts, and it'd always be a Excel sheet style of like a colorway of, you know, based on year. And you'd have your guys like a Derek Walton Jr. or Xavier Simpson, where you'd be like, okay, he's going to be a senior and here's your incoming class. You get really excited about like the Mitch McGarrys and the Glenn Robinsons. And you had this like journey where you could kind of project in 2 to 3 years, like, okay, if guys go pro, like good for them. But you knew year to year that there was a piece to be excited about, you know, from the previous year's team. I mean, even all the way back to like, what can a Frankie Collins do? Okay, well, he's going to transfer. What can a Zeb Jackson do? Well, he's not going to play and ultimately he's going to transfer. And you haven't really even had that excitement of this, you know, Hunter Dickinson returning, sure. Jet Howard coming in, sure. But, you know, whether it's the late addition of a Franz Wagner or the pieces like an Isaiah Livers who stay around for a year or maybe even two with Juwan Howard, I can't think of how many years he is with him now. It just feels like there's nothing to hold on to. And I guess where I'm going with this is if you are to retain Juwan Howard for one more year, and even if you figure out the admissions thing, you figure out the NIL thing, like you still have the same question of, who's on the roster now and who could honestly come in to fix enough in 1 year to then make a decision to extend him. And I think that's where it's so different. Like sure, you had a little hope in Cade McNamara and you saw JJ McCarthy coming in, but there were still a lot of core pieces who did hang around and came back in 2021, you know, like an Aiden Hutchinson at the top of that list, who you really felt good about, you know, taking the next step and really, you know, helping Harbaugh, you know, become more of a player's coach. You know, they hired staff that was dynamic and going to, you know, move the needle. I just don't see that. Like, even if you change the staff, even if we were told NIL would be better, even if you could get excited about a Doug McDaniel and a Terrace Reed, like, it just doesn't seem likely that there could be anything that changes in the offseason that could put Michigan in that much better of a place. Could they make a tournament next year with Juwan Howard and a new staff and roster? Sure. But I'd say it's probably more likely you don't, because we've seen 2 years in a row they don't make the tournament. And I doubt you're going to find the Hunter Dickinson, Jet Howard, and Kobe Bufkin that you had 2 years ago and still miss the tournament with. So, and it kind of boils down to, if there's even any question of the decision that needs to be made, then there's probably a decision above Juwan Howard that needs to be made to kind of, you know, maybe go a different direction in general with the whole athletic department. Because, you know, you've seen some big name coaches leave, Harbaugh being the most recent, and you weren't going to stop Harbaugh. No AD was going to stop Harbaugh. But, you know, now you have a hire that you could fire. Like, how many chances do you get as an athletic director? So I think that's where everybody's kind of pointing the finger and wondering, when's that change going to be made? Because that could be as significant or as, you know, program changing as any decision.
It's something you brought up, and that is a big, big question that we're not going to get into now, but I thought it was interesting. It was like, if you bring back Juwan Howard, there's a lot of room between where Michigan is now and making an NCAA tournament. And like, where on that scale would we as fans or, you know, the athletic department be comfortable with Juwan Howard landing? Like, is there a space, is there a spot somewhere between where Michigan is now and making the tournament where you're like, that's good enough, I see improvement? Something to think about. I'm not sure as fans we would ever say anything below making the tournament is like good enough. But, you know, realistically speaking, like, you can show improvement absolutely from this and still fall short of the tournament. And, like, what would be fair then going off of that? But anyway, we can talk about, I mean,
my biggest
that
worry is kind of my thought with that with fans is, I don't know, like, you would have to have some monumental changes in the offseason to even bring fans to the first few games. Like,
probably,
I just don't
yeah.
know, like, if, I don't know if you saw, and the picture was taken a little early on senior night, but the crowd has not been, I mean, it was Mackey Arena for Purdue fans
right.
on the road.
Right.
And that, I can't think of another time that's happened, at least with the past era, you know, maybe pre John Beilein, pre Tommy Amaker days, sure. But yeah, even if you, you know, again, you could have that output and maybe make that decision as a fan, you know, come March next year, was it worth bringing him back? But you've got to get fans to show up to the building, you know, starting in late October, November, to see if anyone even cares about basketball later in 2024.
Right.
So that'd be the first thing you got to address. Maybe, you know, maybe free nugs just for showing up at that point.
It seems like every Big Ten team has free nuggets, and Michigan was involved in a lot of free nuggets this year.
They gave opposing fan bases a lot of free things. I will tell you that.
Lots of free things. Before we go, last thing. You got a prediction for a Big Ten championship winner?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Purdue. Keep playing simple.
Classic.
I think Purdue will run the table, and I think Purdue will make a run in the tournament. But I think ultimately Purdue will and fall short of a national championship. But we'll give them a Big Ten championship and
you can go to like a Final Four.
The 7-5,
be good.
Give the run of the 7-5ers you know, a little bit more chance. What about you?
I'm looking at the bracket, and like, it's really hard to pick a team that's not Purdue. You know, and like, Nebraska's exciting. Northwestern would be a really good story. Like, they've had a really good year.
They got to beat Purdue before they
get
there, which is crazy.
But, you know, you got to think, like, if you did beat Purdue, then I mean, that weakens the path there
right.
to a championship. So I don't know. I'm not sold on Illinois either. Like, going back in the bracket, really hard to – Wisconsin's been stumbling down the stretch.
I mean, is the top four not one of the more surprising top fours you've seen in years? Doesn't seem like – I mean, how often do you see Nebraska and Northwestern as yeah. as your 3 and 4?
That is a little weird. I don't know.
Which is probably why it's hard to pick, because you don't see a Wisconsin or a Michigan State as a top seed where you maybe feel a little bit more comfortable with experienced, you know, coaches like that. Or an Indiana in a good year. I mean, it's – I mean
– Indiana made a
six
seed.
If I had to pick a winner that I think would be the most exciting, I guess I'd go like a Northwestern-Nebraska matchup would be awesome, the 3-4. And I think that'd be good for the Big Ten and awesome for those programs. I mean, I don't know when the last time either of them has won a Big Ten championship is, but it can't be recent.
No, I think you're right. If you were, you know, CBS probably wouldn't be ecstatic about not having a you know, big name like Purdue or Illinois,
right,
or even like Iowa and IU in that game. But for, you know, people who like care about the Big Ten and watch these games anyway, I think that'd be pretty cool. I think you're right. But I am just going to go with Purdue because, like I said, I'm looking at the rest of the teams and, like, you can kind of – you can make a case, but I don't think you can convince me of anyone else. So, Purdue, why not? Both pick Purdue. I will absolutely 100% root for face fall in the NCAA tournament, though, for classic Purdue.
Let's cheer on Purdue now this week, but next week, if they get upset in the first round, I'm not going to be sad about it.
Yeah, oh, shucks. Yeah. We have future shows we have to do, assuming Michigan doesn't, you know, do something crazy like get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. What should we talk about?
I say if it's – unless it's Juwan Howard news, I don't know that – I think this is the bow for the season for me.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
But I do think a good old how was the first weekend of the tournament? You know, we're at it every other week,
okay,
kind of thing. You know, we'll have a Big Ten tournament that's happened in the first crazy weekend of a NCAA tournament. So
true.
We could probably stick with the hoops theme and
I like
you know,
it.
Maybe
yeah,
transition to some other
spring ball
news.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll
good.
It
I
out.
Just wanted to get that out there because you know I don't know. We always just jump on this thing. Like, oh, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, that's what you do in the off season, especially when basketball sucks. So
it is.
And it works.
No matter what we're talking about, we will be here talking. So we'll expect to see you there. Take care until then. Go Blue.
Go Blue.